saw him, you know, that was my decision. I thought it was a good idea to go for this. We want to change the complexion of the game, take the map, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, no, you're right, Hollis. You billboarded the fact that you don't trust your fucking defense.
Yep.
You billboarded the fact that you don't trust your kicker. And you billboarded the fact that you think Mark Sanchez could even get you that.
Well,
he was throwing balls in the fucking dirt all night.
But as a point of us going for that too, Mark Sanchez had carved us up a little bit. And so I knew exactly
what that game. He wasn't carving anything.
No. At the beginning, he was back there way too fucking comfortable. That's what was pissing me off.
That's what pissed me off throughout the entire game. There's the next point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why with Sanchez at the helm,
mm-hmm,
are you not sending the house?
Thank
every
you.
Every fucking play.
See, now you're rolling the way I want you to roll. You're rolling. See, and now you're understanding why we don't trust the fucking defense, because early on, when he first gets in there, he's just got there 2 weeks ago. You're supposed to be doing what? Sending the fucking house. You let the neighbors sort it out.
Scared, you know?
Yeah, make him run scared. Organize chaos.
You Adrian Peterson should have been quarterbacking by the end of that game.
Exactly. Actually, it would have been Reed was emergency quarterback.
Who was Reed? The tight end Reed. Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. he was emergency quarterback.
I was wondering
that should have been who was fucking quarterbacking.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is that lack of relentless pursuit with this defense right now. Well, it was kind of characteristic last year, but fact was, is they got a whole lot more pressure with their front four last year than they have been getting this year.
And I
still think Jim is a stubborn fucking version of Andy Reid on the other side of the ball.
Well, it's to what you're saying, they had a lot better rotation last year.
Yeah,
and he's got he going into this game, he cannot complicate the coverages like he did this game for those young guys.
You've got to get Dak moving. And Dak is kind of that can hurt you.
Yes, he can.
Moving. But he's also going to carve you up if you give him that much time. You're going to have to throw 8 men in the box to begin with.
Yep.
You're going to have to figure out how to guard Amari Cooper,
right,
which is going to be a challenge for these guys.
Big time.
That's your biggest challenge. They're going to double up right there.
Right.
So I don't even know if you have enough guys. If you're not surprising them or getting them off of or out of their comfort zone by blitzing.
I got one phrase for
you're in deep shit because Dallas is going to move the ball on them.
Yeah, I got one phrase for you though. I got one phrase for what you're trying to say. As a defense, you're supposed to force the fucking issue. You're supposed to dictate to them what they're going to get and what they're not going to get. As an offense, you go out there and force the issue. You make them to succumb to what you want or what you want them to do. You put them at your mercy. That's the way it's supposed to be.
So
because I'm a man.
One thing I thought that has worked in the past couple of weeks with the offensive line was give them some confidence.
Yeah.
And they could have used this game to get the defensive line a lot of confidence by going after
him. We lost Quimby.
I heard a plop.
Yeah, hopefully he's okay.
So I think they could have went after them, got after Sanchez, had maybe a body bag game too, and they could have went into Dallas like a bunch of hungry fucking dogs and got after it.
And the thing that I want to reiterate as far as like the blitzes, it's not only the blitzes do they work for the linebackers, but as a defensive lineman, you're not steady hitting the same gap over and over again. It's giving you opportunity to move around and stuff and to make moves on the sucker so he don't know which way you're going. So it's like that's what I loved about Jim Johnson's defense. Is because he gave us stunts, not only stunts and blitzes, but there was also run blitzes where if the motherfucker run a play action fake, we own his ass before he can say which way is up. So you have to put that pressure on that, and it's got to be organized chaos. You have a rhyme or reason for what you're doing, and know where you're going, and know which gap you have. And once you shoot it up, you can't. These guys do 7-on-7 all day long. So if you give a guy that type of time, he's going to carve you up like a Thanksgiving turkey. That's the best way. It's fucked up.
I don't know. I want to be positive about the season. I do want to be positive, but normally
the fact that we're just talking about going into Dallas and maybe winning it, I think we're very positive. Positive. What I was going into the New Orleans game.
To be honest with you, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we'd say we're going to kill Dallas. Now it's like, well, I don't know if we can beat them. Like, it's depressing because there's so many injuries. They're not playing the same. It's like we shouldn't even be talking. Like, I'm so depressed we're talking about
a
this.
A lot about what the questioning on Dallas is. Dallas has improved significantly.
I think they shot their load against New Orleans.
Especially on the defensive side.
I think they
shot
their load. I think that was their Super Bowl.
Yeah. They did, because it's going to be interesting to see they because you saw how they were slapping fives and to what you just said, who said that in an interview?
I don't know who said it.
Jerry Jones said that.
Yeah,
what do you say? Like Jerry Jones said that was our Super Bowl.
There you go.
He said that. He said that.
That's
was like,
real good.
Yeah. So it's one
he's
of those.
He's such
things.
An idiot.
Yeah. And when you said that's why I looked up. I was like, damn. Did he hear the interview too? Because he sounded like a fucking idiot. Because like it's like you still got season left. There was one barometer of to see where your team was, and it was a good showing by your team. You showed that with the refs' help on your side, that you could beat a good team. You didn't
there
catch that.
No,
America's
no, no.
America's team.
No,
I think
you,
there's a
you didn't even hear what I said, did you?
No, I understand what you're saying.
I said with the rest on your side, you could beat a good team.
See, normally, though, if you blame the refs, you can't blame the refs for a loss. It may
well,
have
been. No, well, no, no, well, no, see, no, well, see, no, yes, you can't. To a certain extent, because this is the funny part about that. I'm going to get into this real quick. It's like everybody always talks about when you make a call, a bad call, and you don't call a game evenly. Like at the beginning of that game, they call like 8 or 9 penalties on the Saints. It takes the steam out of them. It's like you come out there, you ready to go. He's like, oh, the fix is on.
Yeah,
it's like we can't do nothing. And so then, case in point, the Michael Thomas, they reviewed the catch. Mm-hmm. But if you look at their play, the defensive back never looked back for the ball. Which you don't have to, but he was tackling Michael Thomas before the ball even got there. Next series, third and ten, for the Cowboys, somebody is literally barely touching a Cowboys player. They call it defensive holding. Now, and I know what you're saying. I might be biased, but the fact that Troy Aikman, when they went back to review the play, the fact that he said I didn't see any holding there. In the booth lets you know which way it was going. And everybody keeps talking about, well, what did they have the game? I was like, well, when Dean Blando was the head of referees in Vegas, he got busted by TMZ getting off the party bus with fucking Jerry Jones and some of his players.
Wait,
and
are a bunch you serious?
Of, yeah, you know
right.
about this? Yeah.
I don't
know.
Yeah, right. The head of referees out there kicking. That's a conflict of fucking interest. The fact that Roger Goodell is still allowed to fucking hang with Robert Kraft, who was his mentor. A lot of people don't know that that's his mentor.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't nothing happened for Spygate.
I think and that's the guy pulling the puppet strings.
Exactly.
Honestly, Robert Kraft.
Exactly. And the fact that nothing was said about Dean Blando, and then on top of that, guess what happened in the playoffs that year versus Detroit? Exactly.
Hunter, is Dean Blandino the same guy that's now in the booth?
He's now in the booth.
He looks like he's a hostage when they go to him. Like, he doesn't move at all when they go to him. It's hilarious.
Because he knows sooner or later his days are fucking numbered. Especially they put it – and then – before you break us.
Slow down, Hollis.
I was going to give us 3. We still got a little bit of time.
No, no. Before you break us, I want to get this off my fucking chest about the fucking people at ESPN and broadcasting fucking Jason Witten and those dicks. Giving us that fucking broadcast about our fucking city. You don't come up. You're in our fucking city. Fuck them. It's like they're sour fucking grapes. Everybody's pissed off that the Philly finally won a fucking Super Bowl. Get over it. It happened.
We talk about this all the time. Where
but the broadcast is like a bunch of bitches broadcast.
And then
he's fucking Jason Witten standing there talking about what it takes to make a championship run. How the fuck do you know? And then the broadcast, in the middle of the fucking game, you start talking about fucking Kareem Hunt and Reuben Foster about this. The game is going on. How about getting the people into the game? It was supposed to be a fucking home broadcast. You talk about an old lady giving you the finger. She should have gave you the finger and kicked you in your fucking teeth.
That's what I said about being able to listen to the local broadcaster instead of having to listen to these dickheads, because you can tell who they're cheering for almost every time away.
And the other team is like, how many times do I have to fucking listen to Chris Collinsworth suck Bill Belichick's dick? How many times do I have to listen to that shit?
Hollow should be in the booth on Fox.
No, it's just a jacked up thing. It's like you. It's like I hated Troy Aikman when we played because he was a bitch, and then a little bit when he was a commentator. But he knows how to be convenient about it. It was a national broadcast, but nobody should know you have a fucking line for the cow bitches. And you say talk about, I don't know if that's going to work next week. Get your ass on somewhere. Or he used to watch Zach Ertz in his last couple of years. Well, apparently you didn't do shit right.
Now, I will say this, not saying what they did was right, but right. In their defense, their producer could have been saying, hey, we have to talk about this now. So it could be the producer.
They always have someone whispering in their ear to talk about or on
Well, some you know screen, that producer right? should get fucking fired, like the guy who got fired who didn't make the offsides, who didn't make the false start penalty call.
So, Rob, you okay? Rob's
gonna House is cracking me up. I love it.
But you're doing a national broadcast and you're crucifying the city. You're doing a national broadcast. What the fuck you think is gonna happen when you get out the booth? But Chris Collinsworth tried to walk the field on one of the games last year, and as soon as he set foot on Lincoln Financial Field, I'm happy for my fans. They fucking booed his happy ass. He's been a dick since he started playing.
He's a bitch.
Yeah, he is. Nobody knows this. Before you break, this is a funny one. So he was doing the Inside the NFL HBO when it was on HBO. So he had said some bitch shit about T.O. But T.O. was with the squad. So he had said some derogatory, like, personal shit about T.O. So guess where they had to be at the next week.
With you guys?
Yeah, they was with us.
Philly?
Yeah. Okay. So he walked up to try to shake T.O.'s hand.
Hold on. House was in the middle of a great story, but we'll take your phone call, Quimby.
Well, complete and total system breakdown in Grand Cayman, man. No problem, man. We'll have it fixed in a few minutes, man.
What was it, too many Mai Tais?
Yeah, are you by yourself there, or do you have a companion with you?
Yes.
a little bit of both.
See, the question is, we should guess who the companion is. Oh. Like, that's what I'd like. That would be a segment. Who's instead of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Where in the world is Quimby? And who's he with?
No, actually, Rob, I'm here by myself. We had to have some work done in the condo, and I am here making sure that it goes smoothly.
Oh, okay,
can we
cool.
Can we please hear the finish of the story, Hoss?
No, the finish of the story.
Oh, sorry, Quimby.
I'm going to bring Quimby up.
The last part that I heard was I'm on the same wavelength as you, and don't trust the defense, blah, blah, blah.
Well, he was Hollis was going to tell us a story. We were talking about the broadcast and how they were bashing Philadelphia.
So biased.
And Hollis then was telling us a story about Chris Collinsworth, who said some derogatory things about Terrell Owens on Inside the NFL. And then the next week, they were in Philadelphia, and Hollis can pick it up from there.
And the Inside the NFL guys from HBO, they walk into the locker room. So everybody says, hey, that's Nick Bonacani and the whole shebang. So then Chris Collinsworth walks in, and T.O. is walking towards him. So Chris Collinsworth walks with a shitty grin and tried to shake T.O.'s hand. T.O. slapped his hand out the way and walked by him. That shit was so nice. Funny.
So
it was fucking epic. It was legendary.
A fucking T.O., huh?
I know. Well, see, T.O. was like, he slapped his hand. He slapped the fact that he slapped his hand out the way as he walked by. That was like, get the fuck out of the way, you peasant. It's like,
hey, that hand slap was a precursor to slapping men's asses, right?
Well, not really, because T.O. was pissed because he was like, how are you going to say something about me then come and try to bend and grin in my face?
He was talking shit about him.
Collinsworth said?
I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was extremely derogatory about T.O.'s, about T.O. in general. Because it was around the time him and Donovan stuff, because a lot of people don't know that Donovan was just jealous because the city took T.O.'s side a little bit there. They took T.O.
We all know the problem. Donovan's a fucking girl.
Yeah, he had sand in his vagina.
Now, Quimby, I'm trying to... Guy, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was going to stay on script, which means we already ran past for our third break. So I don't know if you have anything you wanted to get in about the Eagles before we took our third break.
I did want to point out, I'm sure you talked about it, but I believe that that interception Carson threw down at the goal line is just... an example of everything that's been wrong with him this season. and
the guy's throwing four interceptions.
I guess people are going back and making excuses for his knee. He's not pushing off. You can tell he's a one dimensional quarterback now. All right, then he shouldn't be on the fucking field.
Exactly. Thank you.
That's how you heal. You don't just heal by not playing. Let's not crucify the guy.
No, you don't have to crucify him, but you make him accountable, because when you go out there, you're accountable for every fucking thing you do. It's like
that interception from the 2 yard line
was brutal.
That
horrible.
Had nothing to do
that
with his fucking knee. That had everything to do with his brain.
Exactly.
And that could have had so much more momentum for the Redskins if they had a viable quarterback there. That could have been a game changer.
Oh, exactly. That could have been total game changer.
What I was going to say was that was the part where I was trying to tell Rob, like, those type of mistakes can't happen versus a good team, because that's momentum. That's the ebb and flow of a game. You just took what we had. It was a 14-point flip, because they go down 14 or 10-point flip, because you was about to get 7.
They go down and score.
Yeah, they go down and score. If they score 3, it's a 10-point flip, because you was about to get 7. Yeah. If they go down and get a touchdown, it's a 14-point flip, because you was about to get 7. Not only that, you demoralize your defense. Now you have to go back out there and try to put shit together, and you have people looking at you and second guessing what the fuck you're doing. Kind of like a Darrell Bevell moment in the Super Bowl.
and to be honest with you, if you do that against Dallas, you know, they'll take advantage of it, and on the road.
Yeah.
Like, everything comes down to this game on Sunday.
No, you're 100% right.
The entire season is on
exactly.
Sunday.
And this is our
and then we have to figure out how to win in DC, and how to pull out one of two between the Rams and the Texans, who are both playing lights out right now.
No, you're 100% right. And now what we're gonna say, Rex?
I was gonna say the Texans, I think, are hotter than the Rams.
Yeah,
I think they're the hottest.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that, but you're still playing in that dump Coliseum. It'll be an Eagles fan base, so they'll have the home field.
Yeah, but the weird thing is, I think the Texans game is going to be one of those ones where if we don't come to play, they're going to let us know early, especially with the defense that they have. It's going to get ugly real quick.
Yeah, Clowney's fine.
Real quick.
We're talking real quick, because not only they have
J.J. Watt's healthy.
They have Demaryius Thomas. They have Hopkins. They have the running back, Lamar Miller, and they have a quality young quarterback that will carve you up if you run that bullshit ass defense where you let them stand back there and pick you apart. It's going to be the longest fucking day of your life.
DeAndre's going to kill us.
Hey, you know what is kind of funny this week? We've been praising Frank Reich, and he managed to put up a goose egg against the Jags.
I wasn't praising Frank Reich.
What happened there?
Dude, I wasn't praising Frank Reich. I never praised Frank Reich, especially because he got Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck sucks.
Okay, Hollis. Okay, no praising, but you were agreeing that Frank Reich.
No,
was
I said. Remember, I said.
Success of the offense last year. Don't try and interrupt me on that one.
I said DeFilippo. You see, you're not here to mute me. But remember, I said. Remember, I said. You guys kept saying Frank Reich.
His ass now.
It's like no, don't touch that fucking. He's not here. He's not here.
This is a lot bigger than you.
I'm not afraid of Quimby, but I'm afraid of Hollis.
I'm saying it's one of those. But no, it's like. But you guys did. No, they did. They did mention it. But I kept saying DeFilippo. Mainly why I say DeFilippo was because he was a guy that was close proximity. He was a quarterback coach.
Position coaches.
Yeah, position coach. And that rings a lot. Like the Reich thing probably helped out with Randy Doug's dumbass back in, but other than that, you know,
I think we're we are missing Frank Reich, but I do think Hollis brings up a good point that we don't realize how important position coaches really are, and it's coming to light this year for us.
There's a reason that they get hired. It's not because they're figureheads.
Nope, they're not. Mike Gross sucks ass too.
I just hope Doug Peterson.
I had to get that in there.
I just hope Doug Peterson isn't what I initially thought he was. I called him Rich Kotite. So I hope he's not that.
Ooh, that's horrible.
That was my initial.
How the fuck are you gonna say Rich Kotite didn't win a Super Bowl?
But no, before that, I mean, when we first hired him, that's after his first year. I said he's it's gonna be Rich Kotite, and then he won a Super Bowl last year. So the jury's still out where we're at with that.
Hey, you guys, enjoy the rest of the show. I'm not going to call in for the next one. I'm going out. But,
hey, we kind of figured you were going out to find some strange wool.
Yeah, have some fun over there.
Going out or going in?
yes.
You going in? Drag your sack across your forehead.
Oh. All right, Q, I'll see you.
All right, you guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
Later. Good night.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up, and then we're going to come back with our third segment to wrap it up. We'll break. We'll talk about the Eagles-Cowboys, if they can win, all that fun stuff. So we'll be back more of the DQ Sports Blizzard right after this. We're back by the miracle of technology.
Oh, yeah.
So Eagles-Dallas, as Rex is in the green room again, because we have ladies there, he's going crazy.
Yeah, they're doing the calendar there.
So Eagles Cowboys, I believe the line opened up at four and a half. I think it opened up at four. I think it's a 3.5 now.
Okay.
So, Hollis, your thoughts? Do you think they can go in and win the game?
I think they can go in and win the game, but it has to be the formula which we just went with without the turnovers. Without the turnovers and more pressure on the quarterback. Yeah. This is not a quarterback you can let stand back there. Like, if you give Dak Prescott the confidence in which they gave Mark Sanchez, early on they gave Mark Sanchez a little bit of confidence. So, if you go in there, if you give Dak Prescott that type of confidence, he'll pull the ball down and run and score a few extra touchdowns just to make you look like an idiot. So, I feel like we can win this one. I feel like we should be if it's like I think it's going to be. I feel like we're going to go in there and kick their ass because I feel like we have something to prove.
I'm hoping you're right.
It's like, but I feel like because that 20-17 game that they won here, it was so close that we still didn't have everything together. I feel like now we got some of the guys back, got some of the guys we need back, some of the veteran guys we need back, like, and we can spread Sproles and Golden Tate. And we got Jernigan, obviously, is going to play this game. He's more likely going to play this game because it's a giant game. If you don't win, you might as well take your motherfucking ass home. It's an opportunity for the best way to describe it is everybody keeps talking about the wild card opportunity. Fuck the wild card opportunity. This opportunity right here is a do or die. It's like, because with the wild card opportunity, you still have to wait on everybody else to do something for you. With this opportunity, you kick their ass and you continue doing what you're doing and you go about your business.
Week by week.
Week by week. Week by week. 1-0, baby.
Now, keys to the game, I would say, stop the run. If you stop the run, then you force Zeke to throw, not Zeke, you force Dak to throw the ball. And I have no confidence in him. I just don't think he's a good quarterback.
Well, with Amari Cooper, he's had a little bit of confidence, a little resurgence of confidence. And I think this is going to be one of the games, it's going to be a real testament to our front seven. We're really going to have to fuck up Ezekiel Elliott and make Dak beat us. But also, in trying to make Dak beat us, we have to fucking contain him and don't let him beat him with his feet. And when I say with his feet, it's like, even if the receiver's not open, we have to contain him and corral him and sack him instead of letting him run for first down to keep the drive going.
No, you're right. But so as a defensive coordinator, you would go with what you said. What I said is focus on stopping the run and make the quarterback beat you.
Yeah, not only that, but we have to also have some damn pressure too.
That would help. Where is the pressure, by the way?
I don't know. Because
they're good players on the defensive line.
They're good players, but you got to realize it's not the same as last year.
They're tired because they don't have enough rotation.
Yeah, we don't have a rotation. We had the big Bo Allen and big Vinny Curry. Yeah. It might be some guys that are over there dressed up, and it looked like we got a bunch of D linemen. But as a coach, do you fucking trust them?
Yeah, you're right.
That's the thing. Because being a player – the one thing that I did learn about being a player and always listening to the coaches and what they say, they send subliminal messages when they say stuff I've interviewed Marv Levy, and Marv Levy said depth is great until you have to fucking use it.
Did he say fucking?
Yeah, because it was an interview, but it was like I was just talking to him just in general about because he was a great coach, went to four straight Super Bowls, didn't win one, but you know
that's still pretty damn good.
That's good, four straight, not
that's
four.
That's what he always said. He goes, yeah, I should have been better to get four teams to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you never won one. He's like, yeah, I should have been better. I got four teams at a Super Bowl. You know? He's a great coach, man.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a home field advantage in Dallas?
Not at all.
Okay.
It's not at all. That's the funniest part because the Philly, it's a bunch of Philly fans, Eagle fans who are from Philly who live in the Texas area.
Yeah.
And also who always pick that game to go to. So it's pretty much. It's not like the old Texas Stadium. In the old Texas Stadium, that was a clear advantage, but nowadays it's 100,000 plus seats. you know it's going to be at least 10 or 20,000 Eagle fans in there.
You know they're more fickle, and you have to have some scratch to get to one of those games nowadays.
Yeah, it's like it's the hoity-toity that's there. The hoity-toity is not going to cheer for bullshit.
I heard parking is like obscene. Yeah,
absurd.
Like absurd there. Like yes, it's insane. It is. No, thank you.
I think the cheapest one, I think, is like $60.
Really?
Yeah, I think the cheapest one. Because I was down there one time, and I was looking at signs. I was like, I don't see a parking sign less than $60. The only one was $40, and it was like at somebody's house.
You're in Plano. Yeah. You're parking in Plano walking to the stadium. It's like, but you got to fly in. You park here, you fly into the stadium.
Get a helicopter.
That's how you're going to do it.
Yep.
Rex, what are your thoughts? What do you think the key matchup is on Sunday?
I think Hollis hit a lot of the stops there. I think we need to continue to run the ball, gain some more confidence there, and the key is keeping Ezekiel Elliott contained. And then with the big question marks, the defensive backs. But like I'm saying, I'm just like repeating what's already been said.
Yeah.
If we don't have the pressure on Dak, because I think Dak is. I think Dak's a decent quarterback, but I think you can rattle his cage.
Yeah.
And if we do, I know he's going to make mistakes. And I think that if they get some pressure on him and he starts making – last week was a huge confidence builder for
him. Right, exactly. That
so
was
a, like, if you can smash him in the mouth a few times, what were you saying?
No, I'm saying – but I was piggybacking off what you're saying. It was a huge confidence builder for Dak, right?
Yeah.
But it was also a letdown because he didn't score that many points.
Yeah.
So we have to keep him on that level where he's not scoring, but he's got a confidence builder. 10-13, that's a defensive game. Your defense won that game for you. You didn't score that many points. As an offense, offensive goal is to score 21 points or more.
So the other thing that their defense is progressing very nicely.
Yeah.
And that's not a super great thing for us, but exactly. That's why we have to have a balanced attack. The other thing, Jerry Jones. Once again, we always talk about this guy. And you know what he said today?
What did he say?
He goes, once Stan Lee is ready to come back, he's going to have the starting job. And meanwhile, this guy, Vander Esch, or whatever his name is, he's been playing like his hair's
like
on fucking fire.
Yeah.
And you're going to say that about the guy that's playing the hottest football on your fucking defense?
I want them to start.
Are you kidding me?
If they start him, it's gonna be trouble because it's always hard to come back. Even when you're a veteran, that first game back is... It's like you're getting your feet wet. You're not. Everybody else has been playing. You haven't been playing. You're not up to speed. It's going to take a game or two. So I hope they do put him back in this game so it'll make an advantage for us.
Now, do we know if we're getting anybody else back this week?
I know we get Jernigan didn't play this week because of a back spasm. So I think he's going to be
okay.
He's
anybody in the secondary coming back? I know a lot. There's still everything's up in the air, but I don't know if anyone's coming back, which would help.
Do you really even give a fuck? They weren't really doing good when they were there.
What about Hicks?
He's hurt all – back to what you said
exactly.
About J.P. Crawford, I love him. I think Hicks is a great player. But he's hurt all the time.
Thank you.
He's hurt all the time.
You're not going to get any argument from me. I said in the past two drafts, we should have been drafted a middle linebacker. And this year the kid Bush out of Michigan, middle linebacker. Need one.
And Brandon Graham got a sack the last game.
Yeah.
But I got to be honest with you. At the end of the year, I'm not re-signing him. He's going to want a lot of money. I'm not giving it to him.
It actually depends on what he wants, though. So.
He's going to want a lot of money, Hollis.
I think he's going to want to stay here.
It's the one thing that you still are failing to realize is he's had a bunch of sacks. He's made a lot of plays in the backfield. He's set the edge for you. And he's that team leader. It's like – This is one of those things where you show the players your loyalty, and this is where you get like the younger players to play harder for you, where you're showing the loyalty, where you don't just throw a guy like that out to dry. Then this last year, it's kind of like the Doc situation. Did you like that?
That was horrible.
Exactly.
But I don't think Brandon Graham's on the level of a Brian Dawkins.
Didn't he get a sack in the Super Bowl?
He did.
Did he get the game-winning sack in the Super Bowl?
He did. No question.
So he's a little bit beyond what Dawkins did. I played in the Super Bowl with Doc.
Yeah.
Disappeared.
I also like his attitude.
It's my dog, but my brother keeps telling me, he's like, well, what the fuck was he at? If he's his Pro Bowl. I'm just saying. It's like when you start making statements like that, you got to look at it. He's the one who got the game winning sack.
Yeah,
I like his attitude.
Yeah,
he's always like upbeat.
Yeah, and he's a team first.
I like him yelling at Derek Gunn after every game. Like, if they get a win, he's yelling at Derek Gunn coming up the hallway.
The thing with him, too, is also he's coming. You got to realize he's coming off an injury that he played through last year.
Yeah.
See, a lot of times when people that's why, like, when you look at certain people, it's like, who are you going to go get?
Well, that's true. You got to replace him.
Who are you going to go get? It's like, so I was signing for like a little two-year deal to let him finish it out here.
Is there such a thing as a hometown discount?
Yeah, as long as you don't try to fuck me.
Okay.
As long as you give me some money up front, and it costs more to move around, to move and reestablish yourself than it does to stay pat. It's like, because if you give me close to what I would get on the open market, that'd be cool. But if you come at me like $3 or $4 million under what I'm supposed to get, under the fucking people that you got, like they did a few players in the past.
They fucked Darryl Tapp.
I do. This goes way off topic, and then we'll get into miscellaneous stuff as we wrap the show up. But okay. I want to ask you a question about the Players Association.
Okay. Because, they suck ass.
Well, I was going to say.
I'm a former rep.
I think you guys should be making guaranteed money, right? You look at all the other sports, you have guaranteed money.
Yep.
And all the players' unions are really strong. Mm. So the question is, why isn't the NFL Players Union as strong as baseball, basketball, and hockey?
And the salary cap should be way higher.
I'm just curious about that.
Because they're lap dicks. And what they did was they put a guy in charge who's a fucking attorney instead of instead of putting Troy Vincent or Trace Armstrong in charge, they put a guy who's a fucking lawyer. He's not worried about the bottom line. We gave a lot of – they were the last collective bargaining agreement. They gave a lot of money and other shit back for some bullshit that really softened the game and made the game worse. But when I say bullshit and made the game worse, they tell you they get practices and stuff, and the off-season conditioning program. They softened all of that shit. What do you see now at the beginning of every season? Everybody's fucking hurt. Yeah, everybody's got sand in their vagina. In putting DeMar Smith in there, he doesn't know the fight. And it was a bunch of shit that they just randomly did. It's just like so fucked up, and they never come to your rescue. I give you $15,000 a month per player. $15,000 a month goes to the NFLPA. They're not going to want me to say this.
$15,000 a month.
But you know, most southern states are for work states, so you don't have to pay the union. You can tell the union to go fuck themselves.
Really?
Yeah, but they still have to work for you.
Yeah, it's called right to work.
Yeah, right to work. Yes. They won't. They hate me telling everybody that, and I will go around and tell every fucking body that. If you're in the state of the South, check if it's a for work state, because the shit that they're there but they're not there, and they continue to not get the they got Roger Goodell. He's in charge of the code of conduct, him and him alone.
Yeah.
That's the recipe for stupidity and fucking up sometimes, which you've seen over the last few years. He's an idiot. And he's combative with the players. You're supposed to be in this shit together. You're supposed to be trying to put a quality product on the field.
He's lacked continuity, so he's always struggling to figure out what to do next. He's put himself in an awful position.
Because he's put his heart into it instead of laying down a criteria where if you fuck up, this is what happens.
Yeah.
It should be that cut and dry. And on top of that, with the referees and shit, you got $1 billion product out there, a multi-billion-dollar product out there, and you letting some sixth graders call the game. Not even old sixth graders, some senile people. And it's nothing against old people, but a lot of old people are not gonna watch the game like everybody else. Now, they stick up the joint every time.
Now, it's my fault that we got off topic, but I did want to ask that question.
Okay, sorry.
I thought it was interesting. Real quick, there's two miscellaneous things I want to get to, but Hollis, do the Eagles – I won't go through scores, but do you think the Eagles win on Sunday?
Yes.
Rex?
Yes.
I'll go yes, too. So I think they'll get their first three-game winning streak of the season.
Yes, that's what I want.
Now, real quick, miscellaneous stuff I want to get to. And I know you wanted to bring up Mike McCarthy getting fired by the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Rex, your thoughts.
So I honestly think that, you know, for what, you know, his track record was and winning a Super Bowl, I thought he deserved the respect to finish out the season. We know they're not going to make a coaching change and suddenly pick it up. They're going to finish fourth in the NFC North for the first time in, I think, 14 or 15 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he deserved the respect to finish out the season. Not only that, but they need to start looking at Aaron Rodgers too. Yeah. Why is he not playing as well?
Was he
easier to get rid of than Aaron Rodgers? And he was.
Yeah, he was. But I'm laughing because you say the respect part. Well, the respect part was actually letting him start back the season.
So the second part is he wasn't the right guy.
You didn't know he was the right guy. You felt like he was going to do some things different. The funny part is, to what you're saying is, I'm not going to come to work uncomfortable every fucking day knowing I'm going to fire this guy. Let's get him the fuck out of here. Let's see if, like you said, if Aaron Rodgers responds to this other guy, because Phil Maven is a pretty good coach, and he's a great offensive mind. If you see some of the shit that McCarthy was calling, like down the stretch for the past 2 years, it's been stinking up the joint. You can't throw the, like we're doing. At some point, you have to start establishing the run. And he had him thrown way too many times, and it's just the play call just was stinging up the joint. Like you ever see, if you ever pay attention to him looking at it, like what the fuck was that?
So at the same time, I get that he hasn't evolved with the game,
right?
But do you feel like Aaron Rodgers got so much money that they can't supply him with the talent he needs around him to be successful, no matter who the coach is?
You have to run the ball, actually. So you're. It's like if you're not running the ball, actually.
They had the tight end or whatever running the ball for.
Yeah, exactly. That receiver, Montgomery, but they traded him. The weird thing is it's kind of like what happened with Hextall. It's like when did you hear what happened with him, don't you?
What was going on in the building?
What was going on in the building. He had a set plan. He wouldn't tell anybody his fucking set plan.
Nope.
It's like, so if I'm the higher ups and you're not telling me your fucking set plan, and we're in like the fifth or sixth year of this shit, I'm ready to move on, because I need some transparency to be there. We all need to be on the same page, and I think that's pretty much what happened in Green Bay.
And I want to move on real quick. Lastly, then we'll get to our sponsors. Mm-hmm. The Kareem Hunt situation. Hollis, being a former NFL player, mm-hmm. being in the spotlight, your feelings on it?
Sheer fucking stupidity.
Does it put a black eye again on NFL players?
And say who?
Does it put a black eye on NFL players? No, because all NFL players aren't like that. But
no, it doesn't. It doesn't really, because if you one the whole tape wasn't played, so it was a lot of stuff that went on before it got to that point. Some racial stuff, and I'm not even going to get into that bit. But the thing I'm going to get into is the fact that you've seen this shit play out before growing up.
He's 23 or 24,
right? Growing up, you've seen the Ray Rice thing. You've seen other shit like this go down. But it goes to choices. This shit is on tape already, and it doesn't end well. But why are you doing it? So why are you doing it? The onus is on
him. Well, he lied about it too, right?
And yeah, that, and then the lying part. Who else do you know who lied and it got way worse? Vic, Rice.
Did Ray Rice lie about it? Okay.
Ray Rice didn't lie about it, but Michael Vick lied about his, and it got way worse because he lied about it. Anytime you lie about something, it's gonna come back tenfold, because once they see the fucking tape, it's over.
Yeah.
And you can't think that nobody's taping you.
See, I think that.
And on top of that, the reason the tape came—you know why the reason the tape came out, don't you?
My guess would be they stopped paying somebody.
Well, no, he wouldn't pay anybody.
He wouldn't pay. So
kind of like the Riley Cooper thing. He wouldn't pay for the tape.
So did the hotel have the tape, and then
somebody at the hotel stole the tape?
So okay. why does the NFL not buy this tape? Why is it not shopped to them? Why is it not shopped to the Chiefs? So they can get to the bottom of this, but
because
they should have had this guy off the roster. They knew about this.
February 10th, remember? February 10th.
Yeah.
February.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but why are they not shopping this to the highest bidder?
I don't think the NFL could get their hands on it.
See, I don't think
doesn't make any sense. How can the NFL not get their hands on it?
I think it would look wrong for them to pay for it.
The only thing that's more powerful than the NFL is the U.S. government.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, if you want to get something done, that's the NFL is going to get it done.
Yeah.
See, the other thing with the comparing it to Ray Rice, I don't like that happening, mm-hmm. because not only was that Ray Rice's wife or fiance, and the mother of his kids, he was trying to knock her fucking head off her shoulders.
Nah, apparently you didn't really watch the tape, did you?
The Ray Rice one?
You didn't watch her hit him all the way down the hall. You didn't watch her spit on him and then charge him. When she charged him, this is all he did.
But
go look at that tape.
I saw the tape.
Yeah. Hollis, when she charged at him, Hollis, you gotta realize too, and then when they woke her up, what did she do? You don't even remember, do
she
you?
She just got up and started. This
stop it. Stop it. She got up and knocked the shit out of him.
But here's so, the thing.
Stop it. Stop
here's,
it.
Here's the thing.
Stop
I've,
it.
I've had a girl spit on me before. I've had a girl slap me in the face before.
No, but that, but that's not. But see, this is not what I'm trying to tell you is I'm not condoning what yeah, went yeah, down. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's like
look at the whole
to what look at the whole thing. Look at the whole thing. And when I'm telling you, look at the whole thing. I'm looking at it. I'm like. So when she remember she charged at him. She was about to fuck him up again. And all he did was this. He didn't lunge at her or do nothing. Because if he lunged at her, the worst thing I felt like he did was drag her out of the elevator. And the fact that he hit her
lifeless body.
Her lifeless body. But you go look at that film, Rex.
Go look at the film. No, doesn't lie.
The reason why I say it's different not is because what led up to it. Because right. We're probably never going to know the whole story. With
the whole racial slur, yeah, the whole racial slur.
We're never going to know. Yeah. I watched both the cop interviews from their body cams.
Right.
But the thing, he said, she said bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed like she was, maybe it was, she seemed like she was drunk.
Right.
The guys that were with him, they didn't seem like they were.
Right.
So I was a little more believing of them.
Right.
But when the Ray Rice thing
is
that what Kareem Hunt, that the supposed kick or whatever.
It was. I know what you're saying.
If Kareem Hunt wanted to rock that woman's world,
he did.
He could have done it.
It was Ray Rice
wanted whatever led up to it.
Yeah,
but Ray Rice wanted to remove her face from her head.
Now, again, as much as we could spend all night on this, we do have to wrap the show up. So I want to get to our sponsors.
Do we have to wrap the show up because you got to do your show still?
Well, I got to do my show. I mean, I can go longer if you want, Hollis.
Yeah,
I don't know what you have going on.
I think the flow's pretty good. I just
work here, dude. I'm just saying.
I'm just asking you what you want to do.
It's whatever you like.
I'm just trying to keep it on pace, Rex.
It's cool. It's good.
You want to sit in this seat?
Absolutely not.
You should sit in this seat. We should have you do it.
No, because he doesn't know what he's doing.
I thought you were tying it together great tonight, Rob.
You are doing a good job.
I'll take that. I appreciate it. So let's get to our sponsors.
As the only broadcast journalist.
Well, no, see, he actually gets paid for it.
Sorry.
Although technically he kind of slid into it because he was the athlete, so he could have the job. He wasn't working from 2 to 6 in the morning for free like I did for years.
You took the long route, but
the long route.
Yeah, but see, but you don't know that who was the very first host of Inside the Eagles, do you?
Are you going to say it's Hollis Thomas?
No, it was me.
I didn't know that.
It was the very first host of Inside the Eagles, the TV show. It was myself and Kevin Turner.
But I will say, you know, I'm not saying because Hollis is here. He's good at what he's good at what he does.
I just
there's
entertain
a lot of athletes
people
that suck.
Yeah, I like to entertain. I like to tell the truth.
He doesn't mince words.
I don't like to let people get away with bullshit.
But I will. There's something I've always wanted to tell you.
What's that?
You know, when you do your show with Rob,
right.
You go through what happened on this day.
Right.
That's my segment.
I didn't know you did that.
If you, of course, I know you wouldn't. I'm busting your balls. When I interned with Big Daddy Graham, the segment I had with him was what happened on this day. So I would go through what happened on this day. So I'm listening to Hollis. I'm like, God damn, he stole my segment.
I've been doing that for a while. Though.
I know. I mean, I was Big Daddy's intern. God, it's been a long, at least 10 years ago.
Wow.
Well, no, me and Farzetta were interns. So whenever Mark was an intern, that's when we were interns.
The no-no cha-cha word.
Long time ago.
Yeah, man. He fucked himself. Oh, sorry.
We're going to plead the fifth on that. He does have a morning show now. Mm. He has a morning show. Listen, if I could take his spot, I'd take his spot.
I'd
take it.
I don't know.
I won't get into my feelings about other things because we'd be here for a million years going over.
Yeah, it's
but
cool.
We got to thank Yards.
Yep.
I want to make sure that I get this right. Is it Tri-County? Is it Tri-County?
Jeep.
Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram. Do I have that right?
It's in close Limerick. To it. Hold on.
I'll make sure we get it right. I'm pulling the mic up again
right now.
Just stop it when you get to it. Okay. Got to thank the Lilas. Okay. Got to thank Stateside Vodka, the Bayou and Maniac, Bourbon Blue and Maniac, all the Cavanaughs, but of course the deck isn't open because it's the winter. And of course our other sponsor in Limerick, Hollis.
It's Tri-County, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram.
If I did that 15 times, I'd probably finally get it right.
I'll tell you what, that Yards Pale Ale, man. That is delicious stuff.
It is delicious.
Rex, it was fun doing the show with you.
This was a great show. Thanks for showing up.
Thanks for showing up, Mike. Thanks for that. You didn't bring me a parking pass either, son of an onion.
Listen, okay? No one tells me anything. Quit it just because I need you to fill in for me. That's it. No notes, no nothing. It is what it is.
So, Rob, you had to feel like it went well because you were so stressed when you came in. There's no – and guess what? We had plenty to talk about. It flowed great.
It went well.
Officiated well.
I'll get the report card from Quimby. Hollis, it's a pleasure doing a show with you. You're fun. Bro. Not that you did. Not that I didn't know he was fun, but to do a show with him, he's a good time. And hopefully, well, I'll probably be doing it again when Quimby's on another vacation.
Yeah, again, I'll be on a vacation too, though.
You'll be on another vacation. It'll just be me in the room.
We'll be doing it there from the vacation.
Well, listen, thanks everyone for listening to the Sports Blizzard. Next week, I think you'll have all the regular people here. Pops will be back.
Yep.
Quimby will be back. So, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Everyone have good night, everybody.